Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to talk about understanding your Bible. Understanding your Bible and just a few of the things that it takes for you to be able to understand it. The first thing we want to say is that it doesn't take intelligence to understand the Bible. I know you think that it might, but it really doesn't. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Look at this. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Now notice he says, not many wise men after the flesh. And then in the next verse, 27, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Now, when you study the Bible, a lot of times I have found that people who are not well educated are intimidated by the Bible, particularly the King James Bible, because of the wording. And so they're thinking, if I can find somebody who is intelligent, somebody who has a lot of letters after his name, you know, B-D, T-H-M, D-D, or what other kinds of degrees the man might have, then I can rely upon him to teach me the Bible. Well, it just because the fellow has studied a lot and has earned a lot of degrees doesn't mean that he understands the Bible. He has been awarded those degrees because he's completed certain courses of study when Jesus Christ was here in the earth. And he was preaching. You know, the Pharisees marveled because they said, you know, how knoweth this man letters having never learned? It surprised them when Jesus Christ was 12 years old. He was in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So the thing about Jesus Christ is the same thing that it is about you. Jesus Christ was a very young man when he was talking to those doctors and hearing them and asking them questions. He had not lived long enough as a 12-year-old boy to have earned the degrees that those doctors had earned, and that's why they were astonished. And you know what they were astonished at? His understanding and his answers. You'll find that in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. Now listen, I know that what I'm going to tell you is not an excuse for you to be idle, and it's not an excuse for you to shun work if you do have the intelligence. The point of what we're saying is, don't be intimidated by the fact that you don't have the level of education that other people have when it comes to the Bible. Your level of education, your intelligence is really not a factor. Look in Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. So if the Lord would reveal these things to babes and not to the wise and prudent, and he would confound the wise by the foolish, and Jesus Christ was equipped well enough at 12 years old to be able to talk with the doctors about the things of the Bible with understanding, then we can be sure that understanding the Bible does not take intelligence. Now, don't despise a man that is intelligent when he has humbled himself with a humble mind before the Lord and with a believing heart before the Lord and learned the same way that you and I need to learn. Don't despise him for his intelligence. But if he uses his intelligence to usurp the revelation of God, then that's not going to help him. And it's certainly not a necessity for you. So the first thing we want to say about understanding your Bible is that it doesn't take intelligence. Okay? What it takes is three other things. I know we could list more, but let's keep it simple. And the first thing that it does take is it takes initiative. It takes initiative. You'll notice that everything I'm going to tell you today, at the points of the sermon, all start with an I, so it's easy for you to follow. It doesn't take intelligence, but it does take initiative. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse 15. This is a verse that many people have already memorized because it's so very, very important. When I went to Bible college, it's one of the first verses that we were told to memorize because it defines what we have to do, not only while we're in Bible college, but every day after that. I've learned more Bible since Bible college than I learned in Bible college. And that's because we've continued to do what we're going to see here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice what he says, study. Modern Bibles, it's a strange thing, for some reason, have changed the word study. Study is not a hard word. People say, well, the King James Bible doesn't speak like we speak, and so we have to change the words and bring them more up to date. Listen, there is nothing wrong with the word study, but for some reason, the modern Bibles have changed that. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved, not unto man, but unto God. And then notice he says, a workman. I tell people every time I quote this verse, coming to the Bible to learn it takes work, man. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you cannot be lazy and learn the Bible. You cannot be lazy and understand the Bible. You're going to have to study. It's going to take initiative. You are going to have to put forth an effort in order to be able to get this. Now, in my office, I have two Bibles on the desk. One I carry back and forth in my briefcase, and the other one is on the desk. They're identical. In other words, they're by the same printer. The verses lay out exactly the same. The one on my desk is the one that I used up until Bible college and through Bible college for the first few years in the ministry. It's so worn that literally pages fall out of it when I'm preaching, and so I don't use it to preach anymore because I have to keep picking the pages up off the ground. The pages are discolored and they're full of notes, and I leave it there for two reasons. As a constant reminder to me to study. We put a lot of effort in up to that point. We need to continue to study. But it's also a reminder to me of all the hours of labor that have gone into the pages of that book to stain the pages that way. The other Bible that I have that's identical to it, the one that I'm preaching out of now, also has pages falling out of it. It also has notes on literally every page, and its pages are beginning to get discolored. And I'd gotten this one to replace that one because I was hoping to be able to use this through the end of my ministry, but it's getting worn as well. And you say, what is that about? What is that about? It's about one thing. It's about spending time in that book as a student. You're going to have to study. It takes initiative. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 2. If you read the proverb of the day, Well, this is the 2nd of February, and the second proverb is the proverb that you would have read today. And in the second proverb, we read these verses beginning with verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Do you see how hard the individual in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 2 through 5 is working to understand and find the knowledge of God? He's putting forth the same effort that a person would digging through a silver vein, trying to find silver, and as hard as he would work searching for a hid treasure, crying after knowledge, praying diligently that God would give him wisdom. Why? Verse 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." And so it takes initiative, and I encourage you that if you want to understand the Bible, don't spend all your initiative reading commentaries and listening to sermons on the internet and so forth. There's a place for that, and we're going to talk about it in a minute. But none of those things are a replacement for you just spending time in the Bible on your own. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. And so it really takes an initiative on your part to say, okay, if I'm going to learn this Bible, I am going to have to read. I am going to have to study. I am going to have to talk to God about this and learn. So what we've seen so far is that understanding your Bible doesn't take intelligence, but it does take initiative. And I'll tell you something else it takes. It takes instruction. It takes instruction. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I just said to you, don't spend all of your time listening to sermons on the internet and digging through commentaries. But that doesn't mean never to do that. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see that Jesus Christ gave gifts to the church. And what he gave you, among other things, in verse 11 and 12 is this. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, watch it, and some pastors and teachers. That's what I am, a pastor and teacher. Why? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. That helps you. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Do you see that? So instruction is a necessary part of understanding the Bible. God uses pastors and teachers. God uses men to teach you the Bible, to perfect the saints, and for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, it's very beneficial for you to be under a pastor, and when I say under a pastor, as a church member, listening to the preaching and teaching of a man who understands the Bible. There are a lot of men today that preach, and there are a lot of men today that teach, but they don't understand their Bible. They understand psychology. They understand how to motivate people, but they don't understand their Bible. I'll tell you some of the biggest names in the industry of the ministry. I say that flippantly because the ministry is not an industry, but they've made an industry out of it. They've marketed themselves up into superstars, and they have tens of thousands of people that listen to them speak. Many of these men are not pastors and teachers. They occupy the office, and they occupy the pulpit. But the truth of the matter is, they don't understand the Bible. They understand motivational speaking. They understand psychology, and they understand where to look in the Bible to find verses of Scripture to back up their psychology. But they're not speaking doctrine. Why? They're appealing to a generation of Christians who don't want sound doctrine anymore. You know, the great majority of Christians today have already succumbed to the warning in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know what? The people that they're following are not instructing them in the words of God. They're not going to learn any more Bible from these folks. They're going to learn about relationships. They're going to learn about feelings. They're going to learn about some spiritual matters. They're going to learn about a lot of carnal matters. But they're not going to understand the doctrine of the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says to the Corinthians, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now, here Paul talked about all the men in the ministry that could instruct the Corinthians. And he said, you could have 10,000, yet you have not many fathers. By that he's saying, look, I am the guy God used to bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the instruction that Paul gives is better than the instruction of these other men because his heart is so tied up in their salvation and in their growth in Christ. But notice, he does say they have instructors in Christ. For you to learn the Bible, it's going to be important for you to have a good instructor in Christ, a man who understands the Bible, who can teach it to you in truth. Years and years ago, my wife and I were in the Methodist church, and our pastor took a text, and he preached it, and I'll just be honest with you, he didn't preach that text at all. So I took him to lunch, and I inquired about that, and he gave me some answers that, I don't know, didn't make sense to me, but that was the end of the conversation, and later it happened again, so I took him to lunch again, and I asked him, I said, now wait a minute, you took this text of Scripture, and it says this, and yet you preach something altogether different than what it said. Why did you do that? And he told me this. He said, if I were to have preached what that verse of Scripture says, half the people would have left this church, and then who would pay the bills? I told him, I said, you know something? I appreciate your answer. I know you've told me the truth. I don't like your answer. But I appreciate your answer because you've answered my question. And I said, my wife and I are going to leave the church. We're not going to make a ruckus. We're going to go to another church where the man believes the book and we'll preach it. And we left. Why? Because he wasn't instructing us out of the words of God. Listen, much of the Bible that I know today, I have learned when another man was preaching or when another man was teaching. He didn't teach me something that wasn't in the Bible. God had shown him something in his study, and when he preached, he showed me what God showed him, and I thought, man, that is profound, and I wrote it down and learned it. God continues to use men to instruct me in the Bible. We just recently returned from a trip to the Philippines, and I sat in the Bible classes that were being taught by a friend of mine, the very basic Bible classes type stuff that I had when I was going through Bible college so many years ago. I had my Bible open and my pen out, and God taught me some things while I was sitting in that class, actually those two classes. And that was wonderful. It reminded me we never get too old for good instruction from the Word of God. But may I tell you something? You got to be wise, because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. When you are under the leadership and instruction of a man who is not preaching the truth of the Word of God, it is up to you to leave and get under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God that God wants you to have in order that you can continue to learn this book. So what does it take to understand your Bible? Well, first of all, it doesn't take intelligence. Don't be intimidated by the fact that you didn't make good grades in school or you're not as smart as a man who's got multiple degrees. Doesn't take that. It takes initiative, you're going to have to work, and it takes instruction. We try our best in this radio broadcast to give you the truth of the words of God. Every time we speak, we want you to see it out of the Bible so that the Lord can use this instruction to help you know your Bible better. It takes one other thing. In order to understand your Bible, it takes initiative, it takes instruction, and it takes this most important thing. It takes inspiration. inspiration. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If my voice sounds a little strange to you today, I'm dealing with a cold from a recent trip that we had. Much difference in time zones. It's going to take me a little while to get over that. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice what he says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, you've probably heard somebody tell you that inspiration means that God told the men who wrote the Bible what to write, and they wrote down what he said, and therefore the Bible is inspired. Well, inspiration doesn't really mean that. Listen, I do believe that the men wrote down exactly what God wanted them to write. I believe that the words I am looking at on my desk right now in this King James Bible are the words of God. I say that without reservation or apology. I really believe that. I believe that what you're hearing, whenever I quote a verse of Scripture, are the words of God. But this verse here says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, which indicates then that inspiration is not the work of God telling the men what to write or the translators what to translate, although I believe he did that. The work of inspiration is God giving you the Scripture while you're reading it. In other words, when you open the Bible and begin to read, I believe then God gives you that Scripture by inspiration. That is, that the Holy Spirit breathes on the words and gives you what you need out of the Scriptures. That's why a person who's never read the Bible before can get something that's very beneficial in the way of milk out of his reading that will help him to grow. That's why Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And another man can read the same text and by inspiration get meat out of the Scripture to help him to grow, because he's gone beyond the milk. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The Holy Spirit's the one that does that. That's the work of inspiration. You say, well, how do you know that? You know that because there's only one other verse in the Bible that speaks of inspiration. It's Job 32, verse 8. It's the only other place in your Bible that the word inspiration appears. Job 32, 8. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So the work of inspiration, then, is to give you understanding. And isn't this topic that we're discussing today the topic of understanding your Bible? Well, if you're going to understand your Bible, then the Holy Spirit is the one that is going to have to teach you what it says. Even now, as I'm speaking and being the instructor that God can use to point out some things to you in the Bible that will help you, the Holy Spirit is the one that has to be here between my voice and your ear, and between your ear and your heart and your ear and your mind, to give you these things by inspiration. The Bible tells us in John chapter 14 and verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Do you see that? He shall teach you what? All things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. If you're going to understand your Bible, the Holy Ghost is going to have to get involved in the lesson, and the Holy Ghost is going to have to teach you all things. You see, there are people today, like Jehovah's Witnesses, and may I tell you something? They put in a great deal of initiative in studying their Bibles. They also have a lot of instructors, elders in their kingdom halls and in where their congregations meet to teach them. But may I tell you something? They don't have the Spirit of God. And therefore, even with all their initiative and with all of their instruction, they're not getting the truth. They're being misinformed by the instructors, and the Holy Spirit is not teaching them what they're learning. They're learning lies. They're learning false doctrines. Some of what they have learned is true, but much of what they've learned is not true. And until they are saved and until they are filled with the Spirit of God, they're never going to know that what they're believing is a lie. We know it. And you know how you know it? You know how I know it? We know it because these words have been given to us by inspiration. When I was a child raised up in the Catholic Church, we didn't study the Bible. We studied catechism. But of late in the last couple of decades, Bible study in the Catholic Church has become more emphasized. There's some initiative. These folks are studying. There's some instruction. Somebody's teaching them the lesson. But I'm going to tell you what, there's not inspiration, because you come across verses like Matthew 23:9, which say, call no man on earth your father, for one is your father which is in heaven, and the context is religious titles, and they go right on calling the priest father. And Jesus Christ said, you've not asked anything in my name. Ask and ye shall receive. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And yet they continue to pray to Mary, showing you they don't understand Romans chapter 8, where the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ are the intercessors on our behalf. How is it possible that they've come to that? The possibility is they've been misinformed by their instructors, and they're not being taught by inspiration of the Spirit of God. Listen, if you want to learn your Bible, humble your mind and open your heart in belief to the words of God. Come to this Bible and ask God. Say, God, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, and trust the Spirit of God to teach you the words of God as you study. And you know what he'll do? He will show you what the Bible says. I have many, 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 many illustrations of how the Holy Spirit has done that to people who have virtually no education. I know how he's done that in my life to help me when I'm studying. So please understand, when you're talking about understanding the Bible, it doesn't take intelligence. It takes initiative. It takes instruction. And it takes inspiration. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that is going to have to teach you. Now listen, if you will apply these three things in your life to the Bible, you will begin to understand, and God will begin to teach you. Those are so very necessary. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.